Members committee, my name is Barney Engelbrecht, Chief Director of Budget Management within the Department of Defence.
Morning, Chair and honourable members. I'm Brigadier General Casey, representing Joint Operations Division. Thank you.
Good morning, sir. I'm Lieutenant Colonel Kovas Maritz. I'm representing Joint Operations Division, sir.
Good morning, members and chair. I'm Gloria Spearman, the chief of the executive for the Department of Defense.
morning, Professor and honorable members. My name is Dixon Subramani, Director of Integrated Management Systems in the Division Defense Policy Studies in Ghana.
Good morning, all of us. I'm Sarah Bosu, Officer Strategic Engineering.
Good morning, Chair. I'm Panel Finance. I'm responsible for performance monitoring in relation with the DCA.
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members. Colonel Cowan, representing the Southern Cities.
Good morning, Chairperson, and honorable members. I'm Panel Karina Bush from the South African Community Health Service, responsible for corporate plan and reporting.
Good morning, Chair, honorable members. I'm Colonel Smith from the Army.
I think we should proceed now to one another. I wish to hand over to SACREF to give us a presentation. I first want to apologize that our systems seems not to be ready and dynamic also computers. So members will have to depend on the hard copies they have in their positions.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. We will be presenting our fourth quarter, the final quarter for the financial year 2018. The report has been circulated to members. It's like the key that we bear with each other and we work through the report. We hope that members of parliament have coded the report and not just black and white, because we are at that stage of technology now where you need proper printers. But for those who are colorblind, then
I'm not sure where SACREF stand with the new concept of do not meter.
I said that everybody will be getting their iPad soon. Honorable Chairperson, I will be mentioning the slides, and when we are no longer with each other, I would welcome the intervention to so that we make sure that we are talking to the same slide. On the first part, we are just mentioning that is the presentation up to the 31st of March for that quarter. And the aim of this presentation is to brief the Portfolio Committee on the 2015 overall financial position of the bank at the 31st of March, as well as to brief the committee on the performance during that quarter. Because this is the final quarter, we look at the financial expenditure for that quarter. I'm now looking at slide number 4 and slide number 5, we can look at both of them at the same time, slide 4 and 5. As it is indicated to them, for that financial year that ended on the 31st of March, I would say that the Department of Defense was neither underspent nor overspent. Maybe we would say it was adequate spent, because we spent 99.51% of the budget that was allocated to us for that financial year. What was unspent was 186 million rands. The reason why we did not spend that amount is because we had made a contingent plan for the liability that we knew was going to come due to our termination of the AFG contract. We expected liability from that termination, and we allocated 186 million for that liability. We which we have then handed over to the treasurer and requested the treasurer to hand that amount back to us so that we can meet our liability to the termination of the AMG contract. As of this date, we are waiting for the treasurer to approve. Normally, the treasurer is expected to approve the handover or rollover of that amount before the end of June. Hopefully, we are still on target to get that approval from the treasurer. According to the programs, like number 6, we'll give you graphs. I think it is better if it is in colors, but it just highlights the numbers that you see on slide number 5. They are not coming out in colors. In terms of expenditure by administration, force employment, members defense, defense, maritime, military health support, defense intelligence, and general support. On the shape of the expenditure for that financial year, we have on slide number 7 highlighting the comments that we have, as I have indicated, about that 99.5 expenditure and that 0.4% allocation for that liability. And highlighting on the administration program, the post employment, and the general support. At this point in time, then, I would then like to now move straight to the report of the quarter in terms of a performance report, and inviting the members then to look at the next set of slides, that is starting with the slides entitled, now slide number 2 here with me, and have its fourth quarterly performance report. On the fourth quarterly performance report, we highlight the scope of this report, which has to cover, because of the guidelines from national legislative requirements, summary of quarterly financial performance, and summary of quarterly performance targets. The legislative requirements are well known to all of us, which the implementing treasury regulations and the framework for strategic plans and annual performance plans as highlighted coming from the National Treasury and the Auditor General for policy steps. Then the slide number 5, fourth quarter performance report, slide number 5, you will then see the isolated expenditure for that quarter, and also highlighting them the year to date expenditure as we have explained. In slide number 6, the breakdown of those slide number 7, which I think begins then to address the focus of this report, explains that in terms of our performance indicators or performance targets and indicators, when it's read, it means that we need more action to have that desire to have reached what achieve the target. When it's amber, means we have the media corrective action before we can achieve the target. When it's green, it means the target has been achieved. I would like then to highlight to the members that since we are talking about the last quarter of the financial year, and through the guidance of the National Treasury for this last quarter, we do not have EMBA, we do not have yet in our report, because yellow seems, EMBA seems to mean that you are likely to achieve the target. You don't achieve the target, but you are likely to achieve the target. But now that we are talking about the last quarter of the financial year, we have not achieved the target. We have put it as red. And these are the guidelines that we have. So that if a certain target has been achieved, 99.999%, I can't give it a green. I can't give it a number to say I'm about to achieve. I have to give it a right. That is why I think we have raised this with the members of parliament to assist us when we are talking to the treasurer, because when you then look at summarizing the target achieved and the target not achieved, if a target was achieved 99.99%, that target is recorded as not achieved, whereas it was achieved ultimately 90%. And this sort of skews the results, and I think taking that into account, we can then go through the report. I will then draw attention to slide number 10. When you read slide number 10, which is the overview of the defense secretariat performance, not the defense force, the defense secretariat. For this financial year, and this result, I expected the cost to be reflected in our annual report, because this is the last quarter, which will be, I think, the first quarter of the annual report. That the total number of performance indicators that we had as a defense secretariat was 39. And out of that, maybe we have achieved 100% of that, of these indicators. Defense secretariat is 64%. Where we did not achieve 100%, it's 36%. As I indicated, this might be a bit, we always need a little bit of an explanation, because to say that we got a 64% is that a pass or a fail might not be.
It's a huge pass if you were doing the test.
Might not be a true, might be a true reflection of what we achieved, because that 36% that we did not achieve, it doesn't mean that we achieved 0%. In those 36%, you find that you achieved, Honorable Chairperson, 88% and 10%, but it's now recorded here as not achieved. And how defenders want us to do this, I think, might need the members to just arrive at the point, assist us in the lesson session, so that we report. You would like to see in that 36%, that mean that we really achieved 0% or less, or that we achieved 8 or 9%. I will then move on, Honorable Chairperson, through the rest of the Secretariat's report, highlighting where we did not achieve and trying to explain why we did not achieve. Where we achieved green, there is probably no need for me to indicate why we achieved the green, but where we did not, I will then go to slide number 13, where we see our red there, in the field number 10, DOD research and ability status. There we did not achieve to build that DOD research and ability status, but we still work in progress. We are still engaged in establishing. It's not to say there is no research and ability taking place in the Department of Defense. There is, but it is not coordinated. It is still scattered. You find that ASCO has a research and development program. And we in the Department of Defense commission CSIR, the Council for Industrial and Industrial Sciences Research, to do some research for our activities. In our department itself, we have policy strategy training, that is the research unit and monitoring evaluation unit, and each of our armed forces, services, be it Army, Navy, Military Health Services, Air Force, they also have their own research teams. But we want all of these capabilities to be housed into a one coordinated UNITEP, where if we have not achieved, then this, we hope to achieve this current financial year. Number 14, excuse me, number 13 and 14 are red. This defense fiscal framework status and the percentage in the defense fiscal framework status is that we are developing the defense fiscal framework that is supposed to be in line with our defense review. We have a number of strategies and policies and strategies that were not approved during this financial year, because in the beginning of the financial year, we instituted, the minister instituted the process of the defense review committee to come up with a 2012-2013 defense review. Now, a number of policies that were to be approved as a department, we consciously decided that we will put on hold the approval process until the defense review has been approved by the cabinet and by parliament, so that our policies will be aligned to that defense review. We have been informed that the defense review is now with the cabinet, that is applying its mind to it, and after that to come to parliament, and once approved, we hope then to align our policies and strategies to that defense review. In that regard, as a defense secretary, and in other instances, as a South African National Defense Force, we have a number of policies that are awaiting approval that will be shown here in our report as well. One of those policies we have the defense fiscal framework status. The number 14, the percentage of payments in accordance with the invoices and claims, we are required that all our invoices must be paid within 30 days. Our target is that 100% of our the invoices that we receive as well must be paid within 30 days. Up to the year under review and now even the quarter under review, I think it's, we are happy to report that during the fourth quarter, which is what's under review now, we achieved the 74% of payments of our invoices within 30 days. That is an improvement from the beginning of the year when we were at 70%. The next slide, which is slide number 15, talks to the strategy of defense industry status. This is the defense industry strategy, which is waiting on the defense review. That's why it is red. And then percentage budget allocation received for renewal of the DoD equipment in relation to the DoD vote. This came out of the last defense review, that 80% should be allocated to the capitalization of the of the Department of Defense of the Defense Force. In terms of that percentage allocation, we did not reach the target of allocating 30%, but we only allocated 9%, and this has been because of reprioritization that has to happen in order to meet other requirements in the Department of Defense. And on the percentage for the DoD extension research and development, in relation to the DoD vote, I think there would need to explanation there. The target is not to say we want to spend 25% of the vote on the research. The target there is that we allocate 1% of the total DoD budget to the to the research development, but meaning that each and every quarter then we have to spend 25% every quarter of each allocated budget. And for this quarter, we only spent 14% of that budget instead of 25% of research budget. Then the next performance budget where we were having some challenges showed up in slide number 17 in relation with the Department of Defense Foreign Relations Strategy, which again was not approved because of firstly the defense review, but also the consultation now that is still taking place with the various command councils of the Department of Defense with the draft strategy that we have developed as part of our defense foreign relations strategy. The next challenge comes up on slide number 18, screen number 30, human resource development strategy and planning status, which is supposed to have been highlighted during that financial year. That strategy has not been highlighted because it is still in the draft format and discussion format. We're also trying to align it to the defense review, as the chief of the defense force indicated, would like to have a human resource strategy that would take into account from cradle to grave life of our members of the South African National Defense Force. The next slide is on slide number 18, where there were some challenges with the Armed Forces Day policy framework. The draft document is being consulted, but has not yet been approved because of the consultations that need to take place with other departments, especially the Department of the Arts and Culture, as to which day the South Africans would like to see as the Armed Forces Day. And now I think we are leaning towards February 24th, which is the mandate commemoration of the day as our Armed Forces Day. On the second number 32, the percentage of DOD collected grievances and suits that we would like to see resolved. We still have challenges in resolving all our grievances, and we are at 33% of the grievances that are resolved at this stage. And on Figure 33 talks to the DOD HR retention strategy that needs to be approved, and that retention strategy is almost now through the process of the command bodies to be ready to be approved, hopefully within the next quarter. The student number 36 talks to the level of morale within the Defense Secretariat. The way we measure the level of morale within the Defense Secretariat, we engage with service providers, or HR service providers, who then use the yardstick to do their questionnaire and their survey of the members of the Defense Secretariat to see what is the morale within the Defense Secretariat. If the morale is greater than, equal or greater than 3 in the yardstick, which is registered as high morale, and between 2.5 and 3 is registered as neutral sometimes, but it's definitely less than 2.5 is registered as low morale. Now, we put red here because we would have loved to achieve greater than 3, but almost there, 3, greater or equal to 3, because we're at 2.94 according to their reaction. When we look at slide number 20, we are looking now at slide number 37 in terms of litigation in favor of the DOD. Now, this is within the Secretariat, whereby only 16% of cases were settled, that were litigated, were settled in favor of the DOD. And when we look at the next 39, percentage improvement of the public opinion gain is to stand in conjunction with the DCIS. We would have liked to see 17% improvement in terms of the public opinion of the DOD, and we only reached 14% of the improvement. That is the report in terms of the performance indicators of the period. Now the next slide, I want to be looking at the performance indicators in terms of the South African National Defence Force. We will then maybe give a summary that when it comes to the Defence Force, the summary, 80% of the targets were achieved according to then only 20% were not achieved. And I'm looking at slide number 24 of our quarterly performance report. Here, if we have those color coding, we might be looking at color blue that came out as color blue, but color blue should be interpreted as green. Because that's the liquid of, the mistake within the computer that put them as blue instead of putting them as green. And then there is a, on slide number 24, where we had to look back at the second quarter and found that the second quarter we reported that in terms of activity 1.2, that is the DOD health fitness status, the extent of deployable status on concurrent health assessments, we had reported as negative trends, whereas it was supposed to be positive trends. So this is what corrects what was reported on the second quarter. But for the quarter under review, both in terms of the fitness status of the armed forces, as well as the deployable status of the armed forces, the trends there have been positive. The next event will be on slide 27. In terms of the defense force litigations that are settled in favor of the Department of Defense, you will see that the target in the Department of Defense, in the Defense Force, not to settle in favor of the DOD, for instance, was just at 100%. You find the state at 60%. This is because of the nature of the Department of Defense. For various reasons, we still have areas that used to be used as a shooting range, and the clearing of the lands in these areas brings with it a lot of complications. That is difficult to settle in favor of COD. Sometimes when you have military exercises, you get fires that start in various properties. That is difficult to settle in favor of the DOD, so we would like to have 60% of the cases brought against the Defense Force settled in favor of the DOD, and we are not there. We are at 60% cases settled in favor of the DOD. The next is on slide number 8. That is, that deals with compliance with DOD training targets, non-combat professional military development. We would like on people that we take to be trained to have 100% pass rates. This is great. But we are at 68% pass rates. When you look at reskilling, as the percentage of compliance with the DOD training targets of the this is a voluntary program where members of the Defense Force are encouraged to come forward to take up courses for the reskilling in case of they take a military exit or time to time. Up to now, we haven't had any update for that offer for reskilling. In slide number 31, when you look at the DOD morale, defense force, in the defense forces, we call it as neutral. Simply means that if it was high, it should have been more than three. If it was low, it should have been more than should have been less than 2.5 pounds. If it's 2.5, then it's a bit more arrows, so that it's being neutral. On slide number 33, we are looking at compliance with the SADC standby force agreement and South African pledge when required. We are reporting our compliance with SADC standby force agreement as being in red. We are most compliant in the requirement of SADC to stand by force, but we are not compliant when it comes to the requirement for military field hospitals. We have made commitments to provide military field hospitals to the SADC by force. We have not complied with that commitment. We have also made commitment to the SADC by force to provide military engineers, and we have not complied with that because of limited resources and reprioritization within the defense force. With regards to military field hospitals, now that we are deploying part of the intervention brigade in the DRC, we are fast-tracking or reprioritizing that commitment to provide the hospital as well as to provide the engineers. The next area of challenge is average number of personnel deployed daily in external operations, the force deployment in external operations. Our target was that we will, on a daily basis, have 2,250 of our defense force deployed in these external operations. We did not meet that target for this financial year, mostly because of Operation COPA and deployment along the Mozambique Channel. The number of times we had to bring our ships back to shore for maintenance purposes and resulting in not having the required number deployed in that operation call. This might also explain why we have not reached a target in terms of the number of hours to be spent at sea per year by the maritime defense. I might have to do a little bit of explanation here, but before I do that, I will also highlight that the main reason why we are not able to meet the number of hours achieved by the military defense is because of the challenges we face with the Samuels Town door grant. I think the members are quite familiar, if not maybe with some of your visits that you undertake, your oversight visit, you might like to undertake that visit to the Samuels Town door grant, because it's really a major strategic facility and a core facility that is way behind where it's supposed to be in terms of maintaining our ships. We are engaged with ANSCO, who are the custodians of the project, and also engaged with the various stakeholders, NN and others, to lift up the capability, to improve the capability of the dockyard to maintain our ships, because there's too much delay leading into the Navy and being unable to reach a target of the number of hours spent at sea. But the reason there is such a big gap between the target and what was achieved, target was 85,000 hours and achieved was 7,000 hours, is because of the guidelines that have come in from the military command bodies themselves in terms of how to calculate this target. in other words, simply put, the hours spent by a frigate anchored at Pemba in Mozambique, which is playing a role of the influential role in protecting the sea space in that area, is not sometimes recorded as our sea. Whereas if that Africa is based in Spanish, the hour spent anchors in Pemba maybe should be recorded as our sea. That is calculation and targeting the management that the Navy will be dealing with, so that next time we don't have such a big gap between the number of the targets of maybe up to 7,500 hours and as 7,000. The next challenge comes on site number 34 in terms of the number of joint interdepartmental and multinational military exercises conducted per year. We would have loved to have spent eight and to have conducted eight military exercises. We only conducted five, and three were cancelled. One was cancelled by the Republic of Angola for operational reasons on their side, and the others were cancelled by us as the Department of Defense because of the reprioritization of our resources that we had to undertake in order to meet our external deployment. We had cancelled on some of our internal exercises. So, Honorable Chairperson, when you look at that with the slide number 25, we then summarize by saying that SAND has achieved 74% of its target and not achieved on 36% for the reasons that I have highlighted. I know that members will challenge us, saying how can we spend 99% of our budget and only achieve 74% of our target, and as I indicated, is the way we calculate our achievement. Because where we have achieved 99%, we record it as zero achievement instead of recording it as 99% achievement. Thank you very much.
CAR, I mean the report has the one great finding, and that is the it's mentioned on page 3 of the report, where it simply says that the SANDF are deployed on a training mission in the CAR. My question in respect of the CAR is, Holland has been informed that there is a board of inquiry currently being undertaken by the department into the CAR. I wonder if the Secretary of Defense could give us some idea of the scope of that inquiry. I mean, aware that there are boards of inquiry into the conduct of individual members named in the JPS report, but the implication is that there is a full board of inquiry which is looking at the entire deployment to the CAR. I wonder if you could give us some clarity on the processes underway in respect of the deployment to the CAR. Let me then lead to force deployments. On C9, page C9, is reference to the helicopter capability, and it's in that section. The total number of hours for work off deployment under JOS is 0. Surely that cannot be true, given the fact that the ROFOC was deployed during the period in the aftermath of the deployment in the CAR. Similarly, on slide C11, the total number of JOS hours for the Gripen aircraft is 0. Surely that cannot be true, given the fact that the Gripens were deployed as part of the deployment to the CAR. And then, more importantly, on the maritime program, the Secretary of Defense did speak to, in some detail, the discrepancy in the total number of target hours and the actual number of hours achieved, and gave us some flavor as to why that discrepancy arises. But I wonder if the Secretary of Defense could provide some more detail. In the report, for example, it says that the SAS Anatole was prepared for the strike, but the report suggests that SAS Anatole was in fact not deployed. Was the SAS Anatole deployed or not? And if it wasn't deployed, why wasn't it deployed? I wonder if we could have some further detail. And I ask that because there are constant rumors that the SAS Anatole was in fact deployed and got, let me put this delicately, stuck in Pemba because of problems relating to its propulsion systems. I wonder if you could just provide some clarity about that. And then finally, again on force deployment, there seems to be a remarkable new level of frankness where in the report it's disclosed that 8 medical staff, which is presumably the primary combat medical health battalion, is referred to remarkably as a virtual structure, which is somewhat worrying. I wonder if we could have some more detail. Why is that the case? And then finally, Chair, another point. Is that okay? And finally, and perhaps most importantly, my understanding in respect of the official defense culture, I mean, we year in and year out, the Defense Force claims to be underfunded. Now we understand that there is in fact a 4.6 billion rand surplus being warehoused in the Special Defense Company. That, taken together with the 5 billion allocated in this financial year for capital acquisition, which the Defense Force has very little prospect, in my view, of actually spending, means that there could be a surplus of up to 10.4 billion rand being warehoused in Special Defense Account. And we have to get to the bottom of this. Is that claim true, or is that claim untrue? And what are the relevant details? Thank you, Chief.
I'm talking myself, but can not be involved in any way now, but born and bred in the city. I want to ask this question, and you were not here at the time. And the response I said was very useful to me. When you look at the things in relation to this one, and when you look at your page, which is somewhat stated when you put down, literally put me down on the ground, these blocks, indeed, you did not have been our oversight. Indeed, you find it appearing exactly like this. I asked that day, which I don't remember, why is defense intelligence given so deep? And I think the response was that we don't do a lot of things, we don't need everything, something like that. That's a very difficult response. But when we do our business, and when we are seated at home, and even the presentation on the big document, which I will come to it, it is just like this. You put it down and you observe. Defense intelligence is as low as this. It doesn't smell. You go to the Air Force bases, you don't smell anything that will tell you that there is defense intelligence. I can give a speech if given time to say why I'm not saying that. But it will depend on the response, then I can give the story. I will smell anything that tells you that there is defense intelligence. Going to District 1, where you have given yourself rest, indeed, if what I'm saying is correct, and correct, because I was born and bred and I've been operational long before we advent and after. Where you are giving yourself rest, if defense intelligence is really working, your human resource strategy was not going to be right. Because they would analyze me. Human resource strategy is human resource strategy. Research and development, research capability status, foreign relations. I'm mentioning things that you're giving yourself right. Foreign relations strategy, human retention strategy, level of morale within defense, plus the comments that our minister said on national TV after the CIR event or happening on this head when he was talking about defense. It is a bit disappointing, really. I know in Parliament there are different political organizations. I'm not going to explain those things. I'm a South African, and I'm talking as a South African. It is very disappointing when we have to speak with other people, even people who are drinking, to say, and they say to you, I'm a doctor. The name of our business is in Bolivia. It's down. It's challenging. It's not what we do in the country. The fact that you don't ever, ever see a person coming here saying he's coming from different, I've been listening, they're coming from different divisions. It defines such an untouchable type of a corner that they are not supposed to come in front of Parliament when you guys are coming here. I'm not convinced and I'm not happy about it. So with maritime defense, it will be low, as I'm saying. So with air defense. And the land right will be high. Even on the ground when we're doing our oversight, it will be as high as the floor. Because it's easy to hang land right. You don't need that much of intelligence to hang it. I'm complaining through your chair, I'm raising a complaint. Making me too bigger.
No.
I'm raising something that is going to put us in a very serious disadvantage when you are going to be making a mixing with other countries. And while I'm closing, for the mere fact that we are told by international media that our team in 2009 that went to G8 were hacked into. I mean, really included. It tells us so much about us. Our intelligence, whether defense or just ordinary civilian intelligence or whatever, it doesn't smell anywhere. You walk, don't smell anything that says the intelligence. Yeah? So through the chair, I want to end it. Thank you.
Ngibulele kunobhala womkhosi. In fact, I can see that the priest was still floating. In terms of the report, it showed that was still in course. Except a few things, of course. As you know, we did speak to the question of the budget of defense that is sufficient for one. For two, but it's still worrying the asset list for the entire Department of Defense. I can tell you, when we on oversight, we requested to even see the armor. But we are speaking deaf ears. People pretend as though they didn't hear what we said. Okay, Chair. There's another question that I would like to sort of get a sense of. I know that in terms of the defense, the chain of command, of course, the section of the accounting officer. But I think for me to want to see the time, we will want to see the men and women who are actually getting their health edge, being part of the team that comes to report for me. Because often we have these admirals, generals, colonels, what happens to the lower levels of the people who do the actual work in this particular? I think it would be nice and proper for them to get exposure to actually come here and interact with us in terms of this report that we're doing, because I am sure that it's not yourself to actually package these reports and do the actual work. I would want to check to see these men and women that actually do the hard work in the Department of Defense. Having said that, Chair, would I then be correct to say that looking on the budget of all the programs, I'm seeing three programs that is slightly understand, which is your administration, your force employment, and your general purpose. Will I then be correct to assume that this is where the money that was sent back to Treasury in the AMG was taken? That is one. The second one, Chair, is on the question of the dockyard. The dockyard has been a thorn in our backs for over a period of time. And AMFO did try to take this committee. They are having a turnaround strategy that we will see when they begin to implement the APT. But again, Chair, somebody still needs to explain to me. Why do you take the Navy to the corner of Africa where there is no ocean? When we have the whole of the seas up to the east, up to Ethiopia, I'm not suggesting that there's nothing happening up to Nigeria in the west. But there's heaven here, where everything is coming in and out. There's portals of the dead up to the Channel.
How was it given to explain to me? The same thing. In the corner of someone, in the last years, there was supposed to be construction being done in some of the and if the name had to respond to any eventuality, what would happen? The next one here is on the defense fiscal framework speech. I really need an understanding. Oh, sorry, sir. I really need an explanation as to if a graphic is drafted complete, a first graphic complete is complete, what has been happening over time? Where are we? And when are we getting there? For us to get out of there. The other one challenge will be on the strategy of defense in the association. I thought AMSO was there to assist the department in terms of defense in the industry. Are you then to accept the department saying AMSO is not getting up to the work that they are supposed to do in terms of defense in the industry for it to be able to serve or give us what we need in the department. The other one here is on the DOD foreign relations strategy. I would assume that the foreign relations, whatever it's called now, the department, yourself, and other departments, supposed to have together dealing with that type of strategy. Now if we're being told we have a problem with that, then I also have a problem. Because then how do you begin as the Department of Defense? Of course, the Commander-in-Chief and the Commander-in-Chief cannot argue with that. But it must be based on some relation strategy of foreign affairs or foreign relation strategy that the Commander-in-Chief is able to declare the Department of Defense. Now, if you tell us that there's a problem with that, then I don't understand. The Honourable Member next to me, but there is already spoken to the question of the Human Resource Development Strategy and Plan B. That the contributor factor could be the fact that some of the things we maybe take them like I said they don't really put much emphasis to them. Then Chair, I come to the DOD collective grievance and dispute resolve. Because up to that part, we extensively took an oversight to advocate it, and I can tell you. Just that even spouses of members in the Department of Defense now have become deputies of members. Because they think that they can talk to serving members, uniform members, anyhow they like. Because their husbands are seniors or officers in the Department of Defense. What a shame. That members of defense in the airport can that message must get to the chief of the airport. That we do not take it lightly as this comes. That spouses of officers in the airport can talk to officers or certain members, they sit there talking to their boring boys, teaching girls, because their husbands are generals or colonels or whatever in their culture. Which is not correct.
and we will not take it as a community. And the fact that that's like we have been asking about the Caribbean's profit, and we have been over and over being told that it is correct, it is being dealt with correctly. And that is not true. And this is not correct, and we are not going to leave it.
The last one, too.
I think I'll go to the second round. The last one for this round will be. On this one, I'll let it go because the fact is already indicated that. There's a challenge in terms of reporting, in terms of counting. Hence, it seems as though they're not doing anything while the percentage is not necessarily up to 100%. I'll leave it at that for now. Thank you.
And then,
number three on the advance. I wouldn't say take this to the chief of the Air Force. But on our oversight list, I think we are representing the Air Force when we are here. During our oversight visit in Delhi, in the Air Force base in Delhi, the morale was very, very low. And that is systemic. And the cause of that, when we engage with the personnel, they said it's because we've been told that we will be moving to Kinshasa or next to Kinshasa International Airport, and that has been carrying on for years, and nothing is happening. And when we look at that case, we want to deliver it. It's a base of the airport. How far is the airport for it? This is the top country. So, I don't know. I need an explanation. And they don't even have 10 numbers to take a person who might get sick during the night. They are frightened. It's a crisis that needs to be addressed. So I really don't know, because I don't want to talk about other cases. When it comes to what pathetic, generally speaking, the Air Force Base is pathetic. And I really don't understand. When it comes to defense intelligence, you know, it's worse. I'm not even sure whether we do have defense intelligence. I don't know.
Thank you. Spanish Aurora, there will be no problem for the transfer of kids. At the same time, the transformation that can take place in the department. The other thing that I also want to check is that in the Navy and in the Air Force, there is also the problem of the air. So both can do that. The board so that we can see what it is all about. Because there are concerns and concerns and complaints. But now we cannot address some of these complaints and concerns if we don't get a full picture of what is happening in the NSPS. It is
I think the key issue that leads on to a number of these policies, strategies, frameworks, white papers, green papers, whatever you're going to call it, the legislative environment and of course the gated legislation. All of these issues will be influenced by the defense system. And I think you stressed so many times that we need to conclude that process of the defense review, which will influence and impact on all different types of policies and compassion of South African national principles. So we'd like to have some clear indication of where exactly this process is and when it's supposed to have been complete already, it is still not complete. So that is the one issue. The other issues raised in the report, we see for instance the payments of 74% that's supposed to be paid within 30 days. What are the challenges that the department cannot comply and actually implement that particular instruction from national pressure? I hear that performance and management systems are up to date. I'm not sure about the IT systems that have been employed because it was a complaint previously that ITER and those issues of the computers within the defense force of course are lacking the systems. If they're able to improve on the performance management and monitoring, we'd like to know what is exactly the issues that are challenging the department for not fulfilling those instructions and completing it with the executive period. The other one, of course, is, I'm just going through the report, Mr. Chair, although it's indicated here for me about, okay, I discussed that already on the foreign relations strategy. I'm just going to go to the issue immediately of 99% compliance with SMS financial disclosures. There's no such thing as 99%. If senior management must conclude their declaration of interest, then they have to disclose it 100%. There's no such thing as 95%, 99%. It's part of your contract and your performance contract. So that is definitely a lack of monitoring or fulfilling the responsibility from the leadership within the department itself. The level of morale was addressed. That I'm not clear about how that is actually measured, what are the criteria set for it, how we determine the morale. Because the morale cannot be addressed on average. We had on our visits to the different airport bases, at different bases depending on how serious the conditions are of facilities and what members are suffering or grievances, the morale may be higher at one, lower than the other. But what does actually inform the determination of where the morale is of a soldier? I think this is not clear, and working on averages is also not good for us. The Service Commission has given us a lengthy report that the permanent Service Commission is now in place. Have they followed through on that interim report that was given, and what is the review of the report and the improvements on the recommendations made of the previous one, the Interim Service Commission? Then of course we've got the litigation, which is standing at 66%. Now I'd like to know, what are the costs attached to this litigation, the nature of these cases? And normally one has an assessment. In terms of the new law, you don't have to go to a court first. You first make an assessment to see if you're going to fail in the case, what is the probabilities, and then try to settle out of court or settle an arrangement. But what is actually the nature? Is the department responsible for these things, or are there things that happen and department with them included in the whole issue of resignation because of some other incident. I don't know the nature of it, but 16.6% is not actually very effective, and there's been a lot of money spent also on employing legal consultants in this regard. So we have no indication of the nature of the cases, and of course of what states here are in terms of population. The ombudsman, I think that's been raised previously also by our colleagues. What is the actual capacity? It's been established. What is it actually achieved? Have they actually started dealing with the cases of grievances of soldiers, or is it still under construction? So I'd like to know, is the ombudsman really in a position to offer a service to the aggrieved soldiers? I would like to raise on the defense as well the issue of overspending on particularly non-core items. There's a whole list of one can go through that list where there's underspending and overspending. Or for instance, we've got advertising of 10.7% agency.
You are not talking to the not my name, but someone who is the recorder.
I'm sorry. I've been talking one on. So somebody just needs to do it.
Morning time is the time that you spend. If you take much more time.
Thank you. So we noticed the overspending on the support out of services on, of course, consultants and professionals, personal advisory services, laboratory services, entertainment is 128%, inventory medicines 229%, military stores 127%, consumables 116%. Now, I ask a question. Yes, on average, we achieve 99.51% of spending our budget. But is this the way we're spending our budget, which means that if we overspend on so many items, what was the actual planning that went into budget? In certain cases, over 200%, what was the planning when we were budgeting? To say that we spent our budget, that's fine. But did we meet our commitment as planned? Certainly not if we have so many overspending areas and underspending. Particularly one area where I've noticed also, Honourable Chair, is the issue where we complain about maritime defense. And I read it in that, in fact, the issue of maritime smoke, the one that we complain about is mobile military health support. What does that mean? We underspend by -54.2%. Then I'm looking at the overspending in other areas like infantry capability 347% and maritime combat capability was overspent by 139.7%. And we say that there's not enough money, but it was overspent. So there is, I don't see the alignment between planning and between what is reflected in the figures of spending. Clearly there's a contradiction in what we say and what we do. So if we need more money, then it has to be reflected in the budget that we needed more money, and we had to spend all that money to say that we actually needed actually more. So there is an issue that I'm concerned about, which is not properly reflected in the arrangements here. The issue I want to raise also is the issue on the general support. 84% was spent, and there was an underspending. And of course, the idea of contingency liability, that is to be considered as a saving because you know there's a liability, then it does impact on certain services. And the indication I received is that because clients to the industry did not comply with the necessary requirements, and therefore we could not make the payments, and therefore we had some money left, which of course we will use for the contingency, and then we deal with those clients again in the next cycle. So I'm not clear about that. What are actually those issues that they did not meet the requirements? Or if it is clearly to save money for ANG, then we should say we're going to cut it back. And this was part of the adjustments budget process. That these are the areas we're going to cut back because of that contingency. It's not because certain people just did not fulfill. It was planned that this will be done. So the ANG report is pending. We waited for that report at the end of March. It was delayed.
And again, we have no indication in the committee's program exactly when the implementation of the AUG will happen, so that we know what lands have been made and the issues and challenges resulting from the termination of the contract. Have those issues been dealt with? Is the air force not undermined by the necessary support and expertise that they require from those particular individuals that work for AUG for? Of course, vacancies, we have to have some detailed update. What are the challenges in why people are not employed? And there are so many people unemployed in this country. Where are the skills? Are people being trained? And seriously, if there's an issue raised like reskilling of people within the South African National Defence Force, and we say no one can forward. In fact, it's a policy of labour relations that each and every individual working for government must have a WSP, a work skills plan, must have a PDP, a personal development plan. Is HR actually doing that with each individual that is working within the force or not? If they do that, then we should have a skills audit in place. We should know what people are lacking, and therefore reskilling should be considered also as a means towards eventually addressing the issue of the exit mechanisms that are required. People are going to leave the force. Are they in a position to carry on another life with a career? And those are things we are complaining about, but we don't see that happening. And if we say that people don't come forward for reskilling, I have a concern that we are not addressing the future issues and issues of the past that we are already sitting with. Thank you very much.
I think you realize that whether we are COVID has been more than 2 hours. So one way or another, we need to put the day aside to try and understand some of the things that we are facing, because it's not a fighting thing. That may be my view, but I accept that there are many issues that need to be dealt with, to the extent that there is also sensitive issues which requires the attention of the department in exposing those matters to the committee. The process.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. I couldn't agree with you more that we do need more time sometimes to address all the issues that members of the community need to be informed or acted upon. Also, within the short space of time that I've been in the department, or being the head of the department, realized just how complex Department of Defense is, and what a huge task to account for this. I'd like to assure the members of the committee that all of us are really doing our best to put our fingers on the pulse in terms of what is going on in the department. I think one area that keeps on coming up, the members of the committee, in the ministry meetings, maybe address the issue that comes up from time to time of the defense and acquisition costs. I think it's very indicated that within our system and operation, if there was a way of sharing that kind of information with the members in a closed session, because that information obviously cannot be for public consumption, we will be willing to interact with the committee, but we will be guided by the committee in terms of how we manage that kind of information. As I indicated, I think the last time we did go through the exercise together with council to look at all the projects, that were involved within the Department of Defense. I think as Mr. Mayor alluded, when you look at the special SDA, if you think about it, there are I don't know, maybe there are rumors are coming out there. I'm not so much an expert on rumors. But
the command to say there's so much fun in there, especially depends on how they've got a machine and all. Think we put, I think, to for the members of the committee to think about how that every year the members of parliament allocate 5 billion, 5 billion, 5 billion, 5 billion, 5 billion every year. And once we have allocated 5 billion for us to use in the special defense account, then there will be a time when we commit the funds get committed, but are not used in that year. So they will roll over to the next year. If you say, where are we today as we start the new financial year, I would say we are at 8 billion. That would mean then that from last year we have rolled over, we didn't use, but we committed, we have rolled over 2 billion. So then I'm sitting now with 8 billion. So that will be the issue all the time. I will make, I can make a simple example. In February this year, we approved the collection of UF Mister, which is Combat Infantry Aircraft Vehicles. The infantry materials. We can check, as members know that, we have then approved 8 billion to produce these vehicles like NL in South Africa. We have just, this is the project from festival, all the way moved up to testing, developing. I know, I think, most of the honorable members for COPE asking the public for Tesla, why is it interesting to have been developed? And I said, well, maybe we should. But the issue is that it's a legitimate question. You say the project must investigate why does it delay. But maybe even we might not agree that the project must investigate, because she has limited resources and all of that kind of work. But as a center of the I should be able to come to the committee and say the reason we have delayed in the UBSDF is because of A. I mean, one of the reasons during the development, you find that the turret firing system is not firing accurately. Point this way, fire less. That has to go back to the production line, and then find out how, why, and that takes another process. So we can easily give a report why it has taken us so long to go to the production line. And I would say to the members, okay, we're committed 8 billion. So if you think today, we're committed 8 billion rights to this project. But what are we going to spend this year? We are going to spend it over the next 10 years. The last year is going to come out of the effect in 2023. And that's our plan. It's bad. It's not because there's something wrong, or there's things are not going well, or somebody's not doing something right. It's a plan. You go to the industry, they tell you, this is our plan, this is what's going to happen. And look at me now. I've budgeted for the first vehicle to come out this year, next year, the last to come out in 2023, and I say I've committed 8 billion. And do you think the last vehicle coming out in 2023 is going to cost the same amount as it comes out this year? No. Is it going to be on the same table? The technology that is we're using this vehicle this year is going to be the same technology that we're going to use in 10 years. So these are all the variables that the FDA has to account. The FDA has to take into account. That's why we have a special defense account. Because I can't really plan what's going to happen 10 years from today. And I can't say to you now, we give you 8 billion, you must spend all these 8 billion this year, we must spend it in the next 2 or 3 years. And these are the, I think, the issues that I think one of the many was referring to money being housed. Yes, I'll have how have come here, or helped you out in understanding, so that in 2023 I can produce that last year on that project that we used to. I will then type out the questions as they came, and just to warn my team that I would like here a representative from FEMS to look into the 8-man question of the 8-man battalion as a vendor. And then I would like the CFO to prepare to answer on the underspend, overspend, admin program, general support, inventories, and you simply put, you underspend here, you overspend here, and you're planning what happens to your plan that you are spending and overspending here, the CFO. And then I would like maybe the CFO, but also the chief defense policy, that they permit to look at this defense fiscal framework status in terms of where are we, the draft, and how, why is that taking it a while. And then also CFO, if you can highlight us, why are we not able to pay all our invoices within 30 days. 74% is not bad, but why not 100%? All the questions then relating to the defense review process, I think responding to that is that I think the members of the committee, we are doing our best, both from the ministry and from the department side. We are fully aware of the importance of concluding this process. We have conducted widely within the clusters of DGs throughout the department until we asked the DG, the JTP, such as Justice, Crime Prevention, and the Police Department to finally comb through that intensity, and then after that, after the DG clusters has approved it, so after they finished with the process in the DG cluster, it then went to cabinet. And that is where it is right now, members of the committee. It is with cabinet from the DG cluster, it went first to the ministerial committee, JCPS ministerial committee. They applied their mind to it, took a while, and then the ministerial committee, if I'm not mistaken, I think they are not. They have then taken it to cabinet. Now, which is members of cabinet who are applying their mind to it. I think they can remember how long it just to develop this review. It might be understandable that the parliament, I mean the cabinet also, would like to take some time to apply their mind to it. That's where it is difficult for me to say when it's going to come out of cabinet into parliament, but I'm told that will be a process from cabinet to parliament. In terms of the Board of Inquiry into Central African Republic, the entire deployment into Central African Republic, I can understand that sometimes when the questions come, we might use different language. I think Honorable Mayor understands the language very well, so he might hold me down to the French language that I have used. But out there in public, when the media is reporting, they may not really understand the language that we are using to describe this Board of Inquiry. The Board of Inquiry in the Department of Defense is only instituted when there is evidence or signs of non-compliance with military doctrine or codes. If they evidence signs, symptoms of non-compliance, then we institute a Board of Inquiry. Once we institute a Board of Inquiry, then the process has to follow the sign-off all the way to the chief of the South African National Defense Force with the Secretary for Defense who is informed of it and the ministry as well up to the point where the report and recommendations come out. Because there has been a sign, symptoms, suspicion, evidence of non-compliance. Now that's a formal structure that is established in the Department of Defense. different from internal review. We come here to Parliament, you hammer us, you eat us, we go back, and then I said, hey, guys, let's have internal review, let's do whatever. I mean, why do we so much hammer to the Parliament and that thing? So in fact, and that, it's not to say, I take it lightly, I say, I want to know what did we do wrong. And they'll come up and say, we've done the internal review, this is our recommendation. And it could happen in the Secretariat and Parliament, it could happen in the military environment. We have been in the backlog, but we suffered federal chiefs, a lot of the ISIS came in, and then the chief of the South African Defense Force request for an internal review by the Joint Ops. The Joint Ops does the internal review, and then they come and they have the internal review was done, and the assessment was done, and was presented to the Military Command Council. And as lessons learned from the backroom of Bangui, that's how they with the military command council, and they are taking a decision how they were managing that report for the I have been advised as lessons learned from the backroom of Bangui. But I am not aware of the broad of required into the deployment of South African. Maybe I might have missed the information along the line, but the first person to come to the committee in writing, indicating that I now since then that there has been the order. But all I can say now, I am not aware. If that is made available to me, you will be the first to know in writing. And then we do look into, I see the questions, and I understand the questions, related to the Royal Park deployment hours and the critical deployment in the aftermath of the Central African Republic. I don't think they would have come under the current report, which is a quarter report that ended March 31st, because as you know, by March 31st, that things are still happening in the Central African Republic. I mean, we eventually withdraw, and in order to withdraw, the Department of Defense had to station itself with certain equipment strategically to prepare for the withdrawal as far as the other withdrawal was support. Because now the backlog was raised. So we could be in this quarter report. And I think we should all look forward. I'm warning my team now that they come to the first quarter report for the Foundation Day 2013 and 2014. Remember, the winner is looking at those powers of treatment and they are seeing ahead. I don't know.
They are.
Oh. Okay, I think Mr. Yes will arrive at what one
should be. Not the policy report.
But we were wondering if you have the information and I was afraid to mention that we all have it. It's just that we're waiting. Quarter by quarter. And when it comes to the Amatola, I think it's from the refusal of the Navy, they might, if I'm reviewing something else, you might add to it, but the information I have is that we have developed aging problems with the aging Amatola. And it has to come back, saying, developing aging problems, that don't have any temperature. That's one of the reasons why the hours. Because because of some of these vehicles like that are developing new repair and maintenance services at the top of that. So I think the question then whether as a Matola after developing engine was then fixed and sent back or the replacement sent back or the detail of it represented of the Navy. We might help us at I think we do know that we did have any problems acquiring services and materials in the process of the deployment for COPA. Then we go over to the defense intelligence, urgent resources. our defense intelligence is effective. If it was properly effective, some of the threats that we have, targets that we didn't achieve, could have been achieved. I would say maybe we, unfortunately, one can't go into details with how the defense intelligence evaluates. Because if go into details, then I guess it stopped being a defense intelligence. Maybe I'm not even supposed to know myself how it operates. But I think the point is taken. When you look at a budget from my side, it's very interesting. Looking at budget, sales charges, and forecasts from the defense agencies, what I've realized is that they are quite a specialized group of professionals. And that they don't, wherever they operate, they really don't require massive military equipment that we talk about. So most of the budget that goes to the general doctors, you know, most of the money that doctors get is for labor. As a doctor, you don't make money from buying equipment, anything like that. You just make money from working with your hands and your brains. And that's how defense intelligence work. They work with their hands and their brain. And most of the money that goes there is to pay for that kind of service. If they like a project, they will mention the project that is required. And most of the time, the project will someone in the army for service. I almost tried to make an example, but I realized it might not be a good idea. But if the surveillance information collection, which is what they're all about, and there's an equipment that they require to collect that information, then the equipment to collect that information will be sitting somewhere. It might be in the Navy, it might be in the Army, it might be in the Air Force, it might be sometimes even in the CCMIS is about command information management system. Which is then go to general support and services because it's a branch system. So that's why maybe you are not going to see a defense intelligence budget high up there because their duties, their operations will house with the various services that are there. Whether they should come here and become part of the team, I think when the members of parliament request that the department first and just part of the team, then the best I can do from my part is to engage them and see whether they see any difficulty or problem in coming back to our team. So I have to do something about this and engage to, I will engage with the chief of the defense intelligence, which is General Nyeme, recently appointed as of the 1st of April. I will engage him and see whether he will be able to send us a representative from time to time to help us respond to certain questions from the honorable members. The other base for the Department of Defense, I think, arrived from the visit. What I wish that the members of parliament and members of committees have to do. I can just mention this way that if you remember, for the financial year 11-12, when we received our first unqualified audit report, I think yes, it was important to repeat again this unqualified. It was conditional because with the exemption that we were audited on the what we call make after the winter semester. It was transport. So all our transport was accounted for. It was weapons, military equipment. All our weapons that we're talking about, the ammunition, the everything, was accounted for as far as Auditor General is concerned. And then it was also our immobile assets, that is our properties, the defense properties. So when it comes to the defense properties, by the way, the general accounted for fully. Full register, and complete register and evaluation of the, of those assets, as well as the existence of the assets, quality check, because we were found to be compliant. The only exemption was given was what we call a minor assets, that is, I call it chairs and tables, and everywhere throughout the country. Otherwise, what you call that, they just classified it as, I don't know, as New York, as logistics, what the term that they use for this one, but then, because minor assets. Now, they said this year, they were going to have assets. And for that, we set up an asset management operational center, and we got the Auditor General used it, and he came back and said, it's one of the most expensive operational centers ever seen. And he said, actually, the work that is being done at the center, the kind of work that you would like to showcase to other departments. I'm keeping my fingers crossed that on this, the minor assets this year will receive an unqualified vote support because of the amount of work that has been done in that regard. And if we do, I would definitely say the department will come out as a center of excellence with benchmarking operations that can be used by other departments in terms of how you account for hopefully that you can get that. That I need to department that at least was able to account the members of the committee fully on all the assets for the resources that they have given to us. But if I get a qualified audit from Isabel, yes, that I will come, I will still come and follow. We're waiting very hard to get a qualified audit on all the assets. In terms of the I don't know whether Daniel's in terms of the non-commissioned officers being part of our delegation, the foot soldiers has put people to do the hard work. I think we take that into account. But I think I still have to consult because I'm not sure exactly what could be achieving by that. Maybe we might find a way of saying we should make the occasional and engage other members of the defense force. Gain the experience that we came in interacting on these oversight presentations that we do. And how do we take the Navy where there is no action? We do have a maritime strategy. Our maritime strategy is a South African maritime strategy. And South Africa is the only country in the world that includes Indian and Atlantic Ocean as part of coastal lines. There is no other country in the world that has Indian Ocean and Atlantic Ocean as part of its coastal line. So that means it's a big challenge for our maritime business. And really it is informed by our maritime security. There is a maritime security strategy, which also includes the southern security strategy. So if you ask where do we want to be, we can see that the threats on the maritime threats on the Indian Ocean is closer to us, South Africa, South African National Defense Force, and it would say maybe the threat on the Atlantic side of the ocean, which comes all the way from the Gulf of Guinea, and this side coming all the way from the Gulf of Egypt. So all of them, I think they have come close to us. That's why it really informs our strategy. And on the side of the Indian Ocean, it means and that we must increase our capability for our naval station. And the reason why the Department of Defense upgrades the Devon naval station into a Devon naval base to accommodate and to improve our capability. Now, that still has to, that still leaving us exposed on the Atlantic side. But the key start, we'll talk about the SADC maritime strategy. On the Indian Ocean side, as you know, we do have a tripartite agreement between Tanzania, Mozambique, and South Africa, which is why we're doing the project COPPA there in Mozambique, China.
have been reached in Angola and Namibia for that agreement that will then also look into the threat coming from the Atlantic side. But if you say we must go all the way to Nigeria, Somali and all the way to California, no, not Spanish. I will have money for that. The defending that strategy, we work very closely with ANSCO in terms of our strategy to support the defense industry, and that is also captured in the defense review. The same, I think, I would say for defense foreign relations strategy, we work very closely with ECO. There's a workshop that is supposed to take place this week, next week with ECO, in terms of reviewing or assessing our external deployment, especially in light of pending deployment for the intervention brigade of SADC in the Eastern DRC. We're working with ECO, looking at the strategies and making sure that it's communicated to the public properly. Because as you can expect, this time, yes, we will have casualties. I can't come to the conclusion that there will be no casualties because we are involved in the intervention as part of the bonus intervention debate in the DRC. The spouses of senior officers being disrespectful to the officers that are here, we will take note of that, and I will take it to the chiefs of services. But I think this will also just reflect with the whole purpose, with the whole process of oversight. I don't know how the members of the committee want to manage this oversight visit, because when I get the report, I get the feeling that actually we need to have more interaction for such visits. I don't know whether you want the visit to be surprised, you come in, nobody knows you are coming, or it's better if we have this visit done in such a way that we actually achieve the objectives that we want to achieve in other ways. Because when you come, you're going to find the commander who can simply say, I don't have because of the command and control system in the Department of Defense, I didn't know you were coming, I never told you were coming, or yes, I was told you were coming, but they never said I'm showing you there. I'm not going to show you that because I don't have an order, I don't have instruction. This is true. I think I will do the same myself, because if I take it and show you this, my commander will come and say, why did you show them that? No, you're not supposed to show anybody. You're not supposed to. I'm just making an example. But maybe, with the lessons learned from the previous seasons, if you want any assistance from the Secretary of Defense in terms of making sure that through such oversight visits, you are able to access certain areas and points that you can access to, quantitate that you assist. And I also think that we can do even more by engaging after such visits. I know there's a report that has been published after the last oversight visit, which gave me, which I think one of the chairperson will say that we need more time, that maybe we do find time to engage with that report in a manner that we can see how we can improve ourselves in the way we do our work. I think the issues of the grievance procedures has been raised at different levels, and my take is that we still need to do more in terms of the way we resolve our grievances. I think I will take this question of the grievance procedure together with the questions on litigation. When it comes to the litigation, the majority of cases of litigation are HR related. And most of the grievances that we come across are also HR related. And the reason is because, as members will know, the Department of Defense is quite a complex department where you have almost like two justice systems running together. You have military justice and you also have your civil justice, because
in any way these are still South African citizens with civil rights, with human rights attached to them. So on the military justice, we are running through military democracy, which is one man democracy, with only one command, command and control. And when members are subjected to military justice, then they are not criticized with it. Then they come in either through the grievance procedures, or they come through the civil justice that matters end up in court. I think the establishment of the military ombudsman, by the way, the service commission, the interim service commission recommendations, we have been, we have applied, we are in the process of implementing them. So all I can say about interim service commission, now we have a permanent service development commission, that their recommendations are engaged with and implemented, and wherever possible, where we can implement, of course, we have to engage with them in terms of where we cannot implement. And one of the institutions that is now helping us a great deal with all the grievances has been the military ombuds office that has been established. The military ombuds established office has been established. It has been officially launched. It's located in, I think, in St. Kilmer. The last time I engaged with them, they have already received 120 cases, and they are clearing up those cases, and they will come into Parliament from time to time. They will come to the members of the community and to have already indicated to them that they must have prepared in the hotel and sports, so that they can hear also if what has brought you to the honorable members of the committee about the progress they're making in helping us to grow some of these families. The level of morale within the Defense Secretariat as well as within the Defense Force is really measured by the indicated, especially in human resources companies, that they will do their analysis, they will tell you about their statistically significant deviations and management. Once they've done, they use their yardstick, they will tell you, we will then do a survey of so many people in the Secretariat, so many people in the Defense Force, and they work very closely with the Inspector General. So the IG, the Inspector General, is the one who engages them, and then they work with them to measure the morale between the Secretariat and the Defense Force. And the indicators, basically, the results of that agreement is that the morale is not high, but at the same time it's not low. And most of the time when you engage them to find out why is, what can we do as a management to improve the morale in the public defense, we, I think for me what comes out most striking is the level of recognition. I think our members, all they want is recognition for the work they do. I don't think they want exhibition salaries, of course that will help, but I don't think they just want more money and more money. They just want to be recognized by the senior management for the work that they do. But also, of course, the living conditions count a lot, and there's a lot of delay in terms of moving the work from the public works into the Department of Defense. We have already formed a defense works commission. We are already taking over the maintenance of our facilities by ourselves and of the public works. And we are engaged with the DG, just an engagement with the DG of the public works to enter into a memorandum of understanding that will help us take over all our maintenance and repairs so that the budget that is allocated by the committee for us is not even the budget that is used by us to improve on those services. On those questions. Hopefully that will go a long way in improving the morale. I think we did ask about the landward expenditure. As you know, the army is the biggest arms of services in our defense force. And if I say now that 51% of our budget pays salaries and allowances, it means that the largest amount of that 51% for salaries and allowances will go to the army. So that's why you see the land and overall expenditures are being sought out, and also what are we doing for improvement of the rate budget. We have now approved the register, which is really able to enhance the capability within the for landlord forces. And maybe the representative of the Air Force can just indicate what they are doing about the living conditions of the Air Force bases and some of the issues that have been raised in the matter of during the overhead findings of the Air Force bases. When it comes to the MFDS, I would like just as a general, the way we look at it, to think about it. Every year in the Department of Defense, we have attrition of about 3,000 people. So 3,000 people every year are going to exit the Defense Force, either made through medical boarding or death or retirement or just the ordinary medical exit because the man feels that they've already done their duty to the country and service to the people and that they would like to move on. So we have 3,000 such people. So it means that we have to prepare ourselves every year to replenish or take in 3,000 people into the Department of Defense. But of course, I haven't said anything about the pressures from the treasure that says we have to cut down from 38,000 strength of personnel where we are today to 34,000 in the next 3 years. That's the national treasure has said to us. Without saying how we do that, we are finding out. So once you finish your 2 years of training, then one, you can either go for further training in whatever area of your specialty or choice, whether it's artillery, or you want to be a pilot, or you want to be a doctor, or you want to be a nurse, or you want to be a lawyer, or you want to be an engineer. You can either go for further training, or you can be deployed into the service. You can then be deployed into the Army, into the Navy, into the Air Force, into the military health services, or you can just be deployed like all the armed forces. You can be deployed straight into operation once you have to the thing. Either into the GRC, into the borders, into the maritime strategies, wherever we are deployed, or you can go into the reserve force. So you go back, you get out of the strength of the Department of Defense, the Indian Reserve Force, and can be called up from time to time, called up to into various kind of duties that we have. So that's what the MFDS program is all about. It's not meant to train people, give them skills, and then send them to the other departments. That is a national youth program, which is different from MFDS. MFDS, Military Skills Development System, but the National Youth Program, then we enter into the MOU, they come and use our base, like the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. I think we might have trained about 2,000 over the last year. They come into our program, they get training from there, they have to send back to the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, and then with whatever skills that the department has advised us to be trained on. And then when you come to the address, the defense review, then I'm coming to the disclosure of concerns and interest. I think I could agree. FML, senior management system members are required by PFMA, by law to disclose their financial interest. And we work on that hard all the time that whether you're DG or not a DG, there's all kind of problems. I hope the financial interest that we submitted to the Subsidiary Commission has always declared them. And I've told them sometimes you declare that somebody doesn't have said that. But there is no two ways about it. This must be done, and we always just get done. I think this year we should reach, if I don't know, the last time we said, but I think we're almost getting at 100% declarations. in contract is where I am. There is the plan that has been developed. I think members have raised this before and have indicated to the chairperson that maybe we need to be fitted into the problem sometime to come and present our AMG transitional plan. Because it's going to be with us for a while. The transition is not an event that, like, okay, we ended it on the 31st of March, come 1st of April, we are in a new plan. We have a transitional plan that can take a year or can take a couple of years, but the health transitional plan is now in the process of being implemented. We'll be happy to present it and the challenges that we are facing in that regard. And with the filling up of vacancies, we still find some challenges. Most of it, the process is starting to be followed. It can take a while. And one thing that I found most frustrating, whereby it makes it even more difficult, is that we do have we are expected to be very strict when it comes to the safety clearance of the people that we employ, especially in the senior management space. And we find that it takes some time to get these safety clearance. And while we're in the process of doing the safety clearance, the interested candidates end up losing the interest of joining us. This I have seen as a problem and have indicated to the department, especially to the defense intelligence, that they must really speed up the process of security clearance for the people coming in. So that we don't have such a long period of time to fill our vacancies. At this point in time, then I will start with the military service on the 8th Medical Battalion, just briefly the status of the activities, what's going on, are they really a rebel structure now? And then I will ask the CFO on those spend and spend if needed also CDC and defense project planning. I don't know the other one that you have. Sorry, just 1 minute.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I will start from the understanding, as the Honourable Member was alluded to all the score items. Honourable Members, we are in a very tight situation because you will find that, let me make an example, Honourable Member. In November last year, we received a letter of allocation from President. In terms of that letter of allocation, was strictly saying to us in 2013-2014 onwards, you must cut your establishment to this. Okay? But on the year under review, if we remember as this committee, from 2009-2010 financial year, the budget of the department each and every year was cut. If you cut my budget this year, I already planned what I'm going to do next year. What's going to happen? It means the operational activities will suffer. That's what it will happen. The operational, if you look in 2010, we were cut by 350. In 2010-2011, we cut our budget. Looking at now, last November, we were cut. On the 6th of February, this year, we were fed cut. We affected the budget. Now, if we are cut on February, we are starting the new year in April. What will happen? Now, I need to make sure that the numbers that Sergeant gave me to say you need to leave in HR on 78006. But on the establishment, I got 78937. What will happen? In order to fire those ones, I need to look to operations. Where in operation? I will go to exactly where I will start from goods and services. The honorable member, all those items that the honorable member was reading as, it's all other goods and services. Because that is an easy target for me. I'm saying I can able to control goods and services because if you look in terms of the advertisement, that advertisement is within us. But if I can tap into capital expenditure, then I'm tapping into the core function. It's not that I like to be where I am. It's not that it's because of the poor planning of the department. No. I'm forced by the certain circumstances. Let's look on the other side of the flip coin as well. Honorable members, as the department, we need to comply with the statutory requirement. As the department. Because if we don't comply with the statutory requirement, it will always be in our audit report. Look at this AMG. If we don't do something about AMG, it means each and every year you'll have irregular expenditure. That irregular expenditure, it means we are not complying with the PFMA, chapter 1 of the PFMA, because it will be always in your book. Can it get corrected? So I need to do something now in order to make sure that my future report is free of irregular expenditure. That's a situation that one is finding himself on. The other part is in terms of where Treasurer tell us to say, go and reprioritize your budget. Like what it happened in February this year. That's what it happened in February this year. When we are saying go and reprioritize the budget, why must I reprioritize? From good and services. Not from the core. Not from the compensation of employees. Those are the situations. It does not, that the department does not plan. You can plan for the next 10 years. But if something comes this month, in two months' time, I need to get into the new financial year. What must I do? I need to look into the situation. The other one, the honorable member that highlighted, in terms of 30 days payment. In terms of 30 days payment. I'm fully aware with the honorable member that we should be paying 100%. But they are, as a department, we are doing something about it. Let me tell you what the honorable member asked to say, what is the problem of not complying? DOD is all over the country. The payments are done in all over the country. Of which, in order to make sure that everything happens systematically, one needs to put more training on the creditors like us. That's the first thing. And the other thing is the certification of invoices. The invoices, when goods arrive, it goes to the different sections where it needs to be certified. Where it needs to be certified. In order for us to come there, that once you receive the invoice, it needs to be certified immediately and come to us. Each and every month, where all the executives and the people who are concerned throughout DOD, we present the report, say, in terms of army, this is the invoices that are not paid. We need this much to resolve. We seem to start that. We've seen the improvement. That is the first part within DOD. In terms of the other, the other problem areas, the two scale problem areas, in terms of the invoice flow public works, where you find it's quite a lot of backlog. Where the invoices themselves sometimes does not talk to the POD, sometimes does not talk to the actual order, of which you can't pay. Let me make one example. Look at the lease register. One cannot just pay based on the lease register. You need to make sure that that lease register, which got a name, is supported by the lease agreement. So that I would know that the supporting documentation, I'm paying the relevant person. So all those type of things. Then what we implemented is to, on the market basis, the CFO of works and myself and my team and his team, best meet in order to make sure that all these problems are get resolved. Honorable members, it's not a problem that tomorrow, I would love to say tomorrow, the department is free of non-compliance. I would love to say in my financial statement, I don't have irregular expenditure. I would love, because all these things that is mentioned by the honorable member, it's formed by the not complying with the state charter requirement. So we are trying by all means as a department and to monitor as well, because it's also no use to claim this month and not monitor the progress. What we also implemented, we went to KZN, we went here in Cape Town with my team to make sure that all the payment within the day must be paid, so that they will know exactly what implications those people who are not in head office, they will know what implication of not paying within 30 days. We are starting to go, we've been to here in Cape Town. Right now the next is to go to Simonstown to make sure, and then the following one is everything. We're starting with all the big ones. So that will make sure that in future, once we get the proper and qualified, we are no longer going back to the qualification. Instead of going back from the unqualified, we want to proceed to a cleaner. That's the plan at this moment. The only thing that at that moment, Chairperson, is in terms of all these cards that we are getting. It would be better if we get the cards this year, which affect a year to come. If I'm getting the card today, and then in 2 months' time I need to implement the card, I don't have the time to correct the ATP and all those things. It makes our life very difficult, myself and the accounting officer. That is where we are at this moment. It's not that we don't plan. We are trying by all means, the Chairperson, to plan the situation that is forcing us to be sure. Like right as it is, the situation that I'm facing with, in 2013, 2014 financial year, I should be sitting at 76 people in terms of treasure. In 2014, 2015, it should be even fed to 76. In 2015, 2016, it should be reducing even further to 73 in terms of treasure. Now the question is, how am I going to do it? What about the people who are already on the system? Because even where I'm taking from the operation, right now it's become dry. I don't have the solution to see how I'm going to do it. Thank you.
At the time of the restructuring in 2000, we did not foresee the demand for health support during our deployment. Our current and preemptive appreciation has shown that we should have more full-time medical battalion groups. However, we are a support service. This week, by offering the options that the Danforth, Maritime and Air Defense and as soon as those options have been accepted, the stamps will then follow suit and meeting and satisfying the chief intent, whereby we will then have clarity on the number of full-time conventional medical detention groups.
Honourable members, I'd just like to clarify the issue of the Amatola being stuck. The Amatola wasn't stuck. The Amatola did the much stirring deployment because from the 26th of January until late in March, that vessel was deployed possibly for the longest time that any vessel has been deployed operationally. What I mean by that, vessels have gone overseas and back, it should have been longer, but this was an operational deployment of a very long period. So I think that's something that has been achieved for the first time. We should be very proud of that.
Thank you very much. That's the full hour response to the question.
I'm
Can we note your questions and submit them by paper? We only have 5 minutes to deal with our program, which we must adopt today. If we don't adopt this program, it means the committee doesn't have work for the rest of the people that will be expected to do some work. Can I please... and I must allow both brothers and honorable Israel to speak.
No, I don't want the subject and the team to leave thinking that one wants to see where the source is at and who's in control of the cabinet where the source is at. We're not doing oversight. When you receive a plate of food, do not taste that the sustenance food. When you don't taste the sustenance of it, then it's not salt. I don't want to know how much was put, who put it, how many spoons and stuff like that. The issue is it's not that. Thank you.
Thanks. The department is the one of the reskilling of soldiers. Also, and the future hits of medicine in preparing them for other years. The other one is, of course, the issue of litigation and legal fees that are high and the nature of the expenses. The Department of Justice is going to answer, but like, maybe it's a response to be given to the human resources, but in other words, around the human resources, mostly
within the, all the processes that we have involved in throughout our integration processes, and then throughout the military exit processes, and throughout the pension funds, and people then end up taking us to court because they feel that they were not compensated at a level where they expected to be compensated on throughout this process of work. And then after that, you have then the case that you are familiar with, which is the question of the match. That's why I just call it a disciplinary case, as you actually call it, I call it HR case, which will involve the disciplinary case. You will then know that you have the matching to the United States, and then we have the there are people now who were called in that are being subjected to the military disciplinary courts, and then others who refuse to come and they decided that they are going to court. I think that I think everything looks fine because finally the court has recognized that we should use our own internal resources to use the disorders. We should use the military courts to address this. When people are not satisfied with the system, then they come up with some of these cases to the court. I think most of them really have, that constitutes the majority of the cases. Yes, when we have had a tender, I always tell them that I don't like the scheme of things responsible for tenders because each time when there's a tender out, I have one friend and nine enemies. And that can go to somebody else. But people who don't win tenders, they take us to court. They just take us to court. And I think then we've done well because most of the time the court refers the cases back into our internal process. We don't have much of those the procurement cases in court, but most of the cases are right around the nature of issues and disciplinary issues.
Is the comment from the department on the issue of workspace plan and a personal development plan where you find people in the job and it keeps in attendance to be the manager or supervisor responsible much better personal interest in monitoring that particular development plan of the individual?
Yeah, that we do. We do have performance assessments, which is part of our public service commission and public service process. In other words, when you sign a performance agreement, I've signed a performance agreement with my minister, then I'll indicate what's my personal development plan. And when I've signed the performance agreement, all the GDGs that are reported to me, I will then ask them also, then they are supposed to do that all the way, just like you say, our manager. Each and every performance agreement has the instruction that we are compulsory to fill in terms of the personal development plan. Then we come up and see that most of the time those personal development plans are achieved, which involves people going to academic programs. Actually, a lot of stuff you will hear, maybe we are not reporting, but maybe the HR might have compiled an amount of money that we spend in the Department of Personal Development of our members, and also the achievements that our members usually come up with. Most of them in the Department of Defense, my observation is that they prefer to go into medical fields for whatever reasons, but it's not needed to medical field. People get their MBAs, they get their LLDs and other bachelors in various fields. So we do get, we do take skilling of our employees very much.
Yeah, I hope
I'm trying to
do this.
Thank you, we should not have
separate 11 questions. We must start with one question, and this is the first one, because all the other areas we have been covered. So, from the help of the committee, I want to thank you. And we now move to our third term focus. I hope you don't want to do we all have the concurrent
when?
The
So you can include that maybe they include the psychometric or whatever. On the third, yes. Yes.
From the 12th to the 13th of August, the key meetings at a committee meeting with the committee will only be able to, because we have limited meetings, so we'll only be able to schedule 4 meetings. Unless the committee asks for a trip on additional days. The first meeting will be debriefing sessions on the outcomes of the overhead visit, and the committee will then be able to reflect on the recommendations and observations that will be included in the report. Then we will receive the second briefing on the 2nd to 20th. The following Wednesday will be the focus will be youth and skills development. The committee will then receive a briefing, a census briefing on the MSPS, vacancies, the filling of vacancies, as well as the aging contracts. On the Wednesday, the 11th of September, the committee will receive a briefing on the state of the South African Reserve Force and the role of the Reserve Staff. On the 17th of September will be the first safety report by the Department of Defense, and then the committee will also consider including a presentation on how the Department of Defense has the retail and protection process.
And you said the first quarter?
The first quarter.
Do you want to have the armed force, the DMV, and the first local force?
We will invite them.
That's in the 17th. Let's just ask, this critical for the high field of the budget review report. That's the time is completely out from last year. We could not have any reasonable recommendation to consider because it was stated in the review. So if that could be the 50%, so we brought that forth and the information to start scrutinizing the report so that we can make our recommendations early. Not only the assessment
plan. On the 18th of September, the committee will receive a briefing on the status report on the effectiveness of the same scheme. The committee will also receive a report back on the status of the scheme. The second briefing will then be on the introductory briefing on the work of the Office of Military Office, as well as the National Defense Service.
Now, Chair, this question of the outcome or whatever, all the specialties, I satisfy all the 20, whatever, July. That's the first thing, that because we went to the oversight. We spoke to people, we asked them to talk to us, and we promised them that we would come. The first thing from the 23rd to the 26th, before you even go to the Quran, how can they start with you with the question of the apostasy? We went there, we met with the office, the members of the airport. And we asked them to speak to us, and we promised them that we will come back to them. Now, it's more than 3 months now. It was in January, was it? It's close to 5 months in fact. So we need to go back there. We need to settle this whole thing and be done and over. Because there's a whole range of issues that have arisen since we were there. There's abuse. The system is being abused. Members are even being abused by fascists now, which is not correct, and it's unacceptable. I am taking that we start with that. Because if we go to other bases and hope to do the same thing, we will not get good response. Because we will go there, and the people will think, I know they will come and go, and nothing will happen. We must remember this community. There's a reason why. As the government decided they must receive oversight over the department. simply because we need to correct some of these things in future. So the second one change will be the long outstanding regulations. I don't know whether we need to put on this, but we need those regulations. We need to restore those regulations as a question. Because the department, if it does not have those regulations, we will not. The department will not be able to give, if that is true, that their parents are really waiting 20 years for the service that they need to get. Thank you, Chief.
Yeah, I'm not sure, Honorable Daniels, what is it that we will be saying to the Air Force? Because before we can even go there, we must first have the task presented to the department and get a response from the department. Because as we go back, we should be going back with the answers to the questions that were presented. So I don't know in the program if we will maneuver and get the department, as we have briefly touched on some of the matters that arise from oversight, whether we can have a day where we have a briefing with the department, and thereafter, when we go back there, not make fools of ourselves, but go back there knowing what is it that we are taking back. But we'll discuss it with the chairperson, and management will have to decide on that. Honorable Isha.
Yeah. Now, Chair, maybe the procedure is different. Once we commit the defendant's work, it tables a report. The report is then accepted by Parliament, and then referred back to the department that needs to look at those recommendations. I think we need to insist on their responses in each and every district. There was an indication by the defense, the Secretary of Defense, that some of the cases of complaints, grievances, were referred to the military ombud. But they must say that the official report in response to those issues. Our duty is to do oversight. We don't actually solve the problem. We put pressure, and we, of course, insist that these things are not in place, it's not done. And I think the department has to respond to those issues raised in the report and first brief us completely on what has happened and what is the response in relation to the issues, what percentage of it was resolved and not resolved. That type of report needs to go back to tell people this is the status of affairs, things are being looked at, and some of the people may even say that yes, they have come back to me, this has happened or that has happened. So I think we need the department to brief us on the progress in that.
Yeah, honorable members, can we then say with an allowance that as of when there is a requirement for the amendment of the plan, that we will do so, but for now, for us to adopt the plan. As for the regulations, in the last meeting, when this matter was brought up, I think we should take into consideration the fact that when the regulations will be brought before the committee, it is not for endorsement or for adoption of regulations. It is for us to see whether regulations are in line with the Act. Because regulations are made to manage the Act. So, I don't think it can be an excuse for the department not to implement the Act with the draft regulations that they have. Because as I understand from many, after regulations were tabled to the Office of the Speaker, NCOP has a copy of those regulations. How they went to NCOP, we don't know. But maybe Mandy can assist to clarify it better. because when they are tabled to the speaker, they can't go to NCOP before they reach us. So they are in NCOP now with the Select Committee for National Council of Provinces. Can you?
The regulations in Parliament on the 10th of May. The NCOP chairperson registers it to the select committee, but the National Assembly speaker is yet to refer to a National Assembly committee. So, that is
Honourable Chair, I have a problem. If there is no clarity on process, if we are responsible as a joint committee, at least both the NCOP and the, of course, national parliament, well, on our side, the assembly, our PC, must also get an immediate response to that. Now, I don't know, it's not really written into the Act itself. It speaks to the regulation, responsibility of the minister, in consultation with the DG, in developing the regulations. But like the bill itself, it's delegated the Pigeon Act, we consulted, we gave our inputs. Similarly, as you correctly say, we need to see if it's in line with the Act. But within the regulations, there are also stipulations made which impact on military veterans and of course the benefits. So those regulations actually give the fine detail that will put limitations on what benefits can be given to deserving military veterans. And that we need to interrogate and discuss how it impacts on military veterans and of course the cost attached to it. We have received a copy of the draft, but that was not officially, I think, that it's been handed forward to us to respond within a certain period. It was copied to us just for information at this stage. So we're not aware of the 30-day window period, which has to be dealt with before publication. Now it was tabled and then of course gazetted, and now I don't know where we exactly put in the process.
Yeah, I think the Honourable Daniel is correct to identify military veterans regulations as a priority. Could I make a proposal that as a committee we ask the chairperson, through possibly the chair of chairs, to interact with the office of speaker to determine when these regulations will be submitted to the relevant committee? Because my understanding is that in fact in the Act the regulations are subject to the approval of Parliament. I stand under correction, I may be incorrect, but it would seem to me that unless those regulations are processed through a committee and approved by Parliament, there is going to be, or could become, a potential roadblock to benefits being paid to military veterans. But my proposal is simply that as a committee, we mandate the chairperson to interact with the chair of chairs, possibly the speaker's office, to resolve this problem as a matter of urgency. That's on regulations. On program, I'd like to compliment the chairperson and Mandy on the program. On the draft program, is a significant improvement on what we used to in the Joint Standing Committee on Defence. I think we should adopt the program subject to changes that have been advised by the Secretary. I have some additions which I'd like to include, which I will put to the Secretary in writing.
Make some additional or some additional on the 8th of August. Oversight to South African Military Academy in Kalana. We must also see this slide. What is this? That commission must also be included. Only in the term, in some of that. And the other thing, Chairperson, I don't know whether the other members will agree. The homework, the briefing by the homework, is on the 18th on the 19th. And since this establishment of this office, we never get anything from the UMBOC. So I would like us to rearrange the date. Then the UMBOC will be to the 21st of August. And then we take the youth and then the youth and skill development to the 18th of September. That's my proposal. Because if we have to deal with the oversight report, then we could know, we could also have an idea. And as members of parliament, as members of committee, what
are these procedures and how are these grievances and whatever are dealt with, so that we can, when we go to oversight, we can even explain. Well, sometimes we find out that even the members at the base, they don't know all those grievance procedures or procedure procedures, how to deal with them. So we'll be able to assist them. Thank you.
Honorable Miller,
I
have more questions. Approach that he's got some items to add into the program and he's going to submit them to Mandy. Can I request that all members do the same rather than engaging into a meeting? It might be. I have a meeting that started at half past 12. Can I please with you all over there?
Just, I'm waiting.
No, I know.
I hear you.
No, but I'm...
Can I say what I'm saying? I'm moving for the adoption of the program with amendments and privatization. That's all I want to say. Thank you.
So now, second on
yeah, I would support that. I'm just a concern. Would any of the oversight visits, is Honourable Hannes concerned with the cover to the NGOP members also to accompany us on the oversight business?
I'm not going to allow us to discuss the NGOP portfolio comments. Thank you, Honourable Members. I would not have had a problem for us to continue until when you don't have lunch. But I have another meeting. Thank you.